إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا.
The life in the grave, or as is known to the scholars of Islam, the life of al-barzakh, or al-hayat al-barzakhiyya, that life is a matter of ghaib to us. And by ghaib, we mean things which are ghaib, which are away from us, from our conception or our ability to interact with them, with any of our normal senses. The matters of ghaib, the only avenue to learn about them is through the revelation, through what Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us. And believing in the matters of ghaib is an integral part of the Muslim belief. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The believers, one of the descriptions is that they believe in matters of ghaib. The word al-barzakh is derived by the scholars from the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. Which means, until when death comes to one of them, which means they continue to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, they continue to be sinful in their lives and postpone repentance until the moment when death comes to one of them, and he says, my Lord, send me back. At the moment of death, he wishes the sinful person, the disbelieving person, wishes them to be sent back to life, that he would be given a repose, a postponement, that his death will be delayed. Send me back, perhaps I may do good in what in that which I have left behind. But that's too late. No. Allah Azza wa Jal responds to that by saying, no, it is but a word that he speaks. And behind them is a barzakh. Is a barzakh until the day when they are raised up. This ayah is taken by the scholars as a proof from the Quran that there is a life like that, or a state like that between the two lives. There are other proofs. In the Quran, for example, Allah Azza wa Jal says about the people of Fir'aun, he says, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Which means, the fire, they are presented to it or exposed to it morning and evening. And on the day when the hour is established, which means the last hour, which means the doom's hour, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ, admit the family of Fir'aun into the harshest, the most severe of punishment. So it means that right now they are being presented to the fire, morning and evening. And this is in full agreement with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we will be hearing, in which he describes the situation of the disbelievers, and that event or an opening is made in his grave to the hellfire, so that he receives from its pain, from its punishment, from its harm and evil, morning and evening, all the time. So this applies in particular to the people or the family of Fir'aun, and in general to all of the disbelievers. So this life of al-barzakh, or this state of al-barzakh, which is a state between two lives, is a state to which the laws of our world do not apply. The laws of nature in our world do not apply to that state. They do not apply to the next life either. Okay, but in the next life it will be obvious. Why? Because we will be all there and we will be witnessing that things are happening differently from what we have been familiar with. The deeds will be seen in records, and we do not see them in records now. Death will be brought as a ram, and it will be slaughtered in front of everybody. The sun will come close to people, and still they will not be harmed with it in the way that they are harmed with in this life, but the harm will vary from one person to the other depending on what his deeds were in this life, and so on. The most of the ahadith of the reports, authentic reports regarding the life in al-Barzakh, deal specifically with what happens to a believer in his grave and what happens to a disbeliever. So they provide a comparison between a disbeliever's situation in the grave and a believer's situation there. There are other reports that talk about the sinful people in al-Barzakh and how what happens to them, or the Prophet, or other individuals. But most of the reports that we have are in regards to those two cases, two distinct cases. A believer on one hand, and a disbeliever on the other hand. So we know much of what happens to a believer, we know much of what happens to a disbeliever. How about what happens to people in between? We do not have much information. We have some knowledge that we can present or read about and so on. And what about the among the believers, they are ranked. There are believers who are better than others. There are the martyrs, there are the prophets, and those people have special treatment in the grave. So what is the situation in their regard? That also we have some information, but the general picture that is painted for us is in regards to these two opposing cases, the case of the believers and the case of the disbelievers. The most commonly cited and commonly heard hadith in this regard is the hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, and it is in fact the longest hadith about the subject of what happens in the grave. The hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. Al-Bara bin Azib tells that once they, the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a funeral. They walked with a funeral of a man of Al-Ansar. Al-Ansar, the people of Medina. Now they got to the place, location of the grave, and the grave was still has not been lamma yulhad, which means it has not been finished. They have not finished digging the grave yet. They have not made the lahad in it, where to put the body into it yet. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat, and his companions sat around him, around the grave or near the grave, and he told them this long hadith that we'll be coming over or covering. But I would like to point out that some people derive from this hadith that it is recommended when you bury someone for a person of knowledge to stand over the grave and give a short sermon. And this is not true. Actually, this is a bid'ah. This is an innovation, as I have indicated in the book on funerals. What the Prophet ﷺ did was done, he said before the burial. And it was while they were waiting for the grave to be ready to put the body into it. So that is important to point out. Now back to the hadith. The hadith says that the Prophet ﷺ had in his hand a stick. He was sitting on the ground, he had a stick in his hand, and he was moving the earth slowly with that stick. So, in other words, he was in deep thoughts, pondering about this situation of death. And he called or encouraged us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reflect on that, and to visit the graves and to walk with the dead bodies so that we can remember that. So he was pondering over this matter of death with the stick, using it to just move a little, the earth a little bit. The Sahaba sat around him very quietly, and as he described it, al-Wara, as if birds were standing on our heads. And if a bird is standing on your head and you do not want to scare it away, that means you have to act like a statue. Not move, not even blink your eyes. So that is how they were sitting around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they saw him look up toward the sky and then look down toward the earth. 3 times. Which means he was seeing things that they could not see. He was seeing the angels coming down, coming up, saying things, doing things. And as Aisha radiallahu anha said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he once told her, he said, هَذَا جِبْرِيلُ يُقْرِئُكِ السَّلَامُ. He said, oh Aisha, this is Jibreel and he is saying the salam to you. So Aisha could not see Jibreel, could not hear him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most truthful, he told her, here is Jibreel and he is saying salam to you. So she said, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تَرَى مَا لَا نَرَى. She said, and to you be the salam, O Allah's Messenger, you see things that we cannot see. So this is something that Allah gave him, a power that Allah gave him, that he can see things that we cannot see. And he could see some of what the people who were punished in the grave, what he could hear some of their screams and things like that. So in this case he was looking up and down. And as he looked up and down 3 times, he said, استعيذوا بالله من عذاب القبر. Seek refuge in Allah or with Allah from the punishment of the grave. And then he said it himself 3 times. He said that 3 times, he told them to say that. Then he said, أعوذ بالله من عذاب القبر 3 times. So he said, أعوذ بالله من عذاب القبر, أعوذ بالله من عذاب القبر, أعوذ بالله من عذاب القبر. I seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started with his long description. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا كَانَ فِي الْقِطْرَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالٍ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. To the end of this long hadith. Which means, verily, when a believing servant is at the end, at the cut off of this first life, of the worldly life, and an approach of the next life, of the hereafter, of the hereafter, وَأَقْبَالٍ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزَلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Angels descend to him from the heavens. In some other reports, not in this hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib, the Prophet ﷺ says that their faces are bright like the sun. They have shiny faces, those angels who come to the believing servant, to the believing servant or al-Abd al-Mu'min. They have with them, they are carrying with them, those angels, they are carrying with them hanut min al-Jannah, which means embalmment, like perfume from Jannah. They carry with them perfume from Jannah as well as silk, white silk from Jannah. For white silk to wrap the soul of the believer in it, just like the body was wrapped with the shroud in this material life or this material world that we are familiar with. So they have this silk of Jannah and they have this perfume from Jannah for the believing servant. When they come down, they sit very far from him, as far as he can see. So they not sit right next to him. Now a question may be, what about a person who is sitting in a very small room, like in a hospital room, where the room is like 8 feet by 4 feet. So they cannot sit way too far. They will sit probably about 2 feet away from him. Or in some cases even closer than that. So does it mean that they sit and he can see beyond the walls of the room? We do not know. We do not know, because now we have started into the world of ghaib, and therefore our limitations, we have reached our limit of knowledge, of experience in this world. So all we know is that they sit from him as far as he can see. And we have observed some dying people how, when they are very close to death, you see that their eyes are fixed in one direction. And sometimes they even say things as if they are talking to individuals that we cannot see. So they sit very far from him. And then the angel of death comes. So think, imagine this situation. You have angels carrying silk from Jannah, carrying embalmment from Jannah, and waiting, and then the angel of death comes. Who is the angel of death? Is it one angel who goes to all people? Or is it many angels who are called the angel of death, and each one goes to every dying person? And is it possible that somebody who dies here, and somebody who dies in China, at this same moment, the same angel of death will be able to take the life of this one and that one? What's the answer to this? We don't know. We don't know, because again, it's a matter of ghaib. We cannot apply the laws that we are familiar with to that. How can we say that Allah descends to the lowest heaven on the last one third of the night, as the Prophet ﷺ said? Does it mean that he becomes under the second heaven and under the third heaven? No. He is always above everything. So how could he be above everything and still descend to the lowest heaven? That's a matter of ghaib. Our experience in this world is not applicable. We cannot apply the laws that we are familiar here. In this world, if I descend from here, from this platform, down to that level, then I'm not anymore on this platform. I'm not anymore. But I'm talking about creatures, created things. Things created by Allah. I'm created by Allah. The laws do not apply to the Creator like that. To the one who created the laws and who controls them any way he will. So for him, he goes down to the lowest heaven and he's still above the throne. Similarly for the angel of death. The angel of death is from al-ghayb. And whether Allah needs, can do with one angel to take the souls of everyone who needs to die at one time, or he will appoint many angels, each one of them called the angel of death, it is really not of much relevance to us. And the scholars do not have a unanimous opinion in that regard. Some of them are of one opinion, some of them are of the other, but either case, it's not of much relevance to us. All what we care about is that an angel called the angel of death comes and approaches the dying person. There is a report which is not authentic. It is slightly weak or just weak, so that we cannot take it as an evidence, even though you probably have heard from some scholars relating to the angel of death that I would mention to you, which is that it is not true, but it has some kind of ibrah in it, some kind of lesson in it. It says that the angel of death used to come in a plain form, in a visible form, and sit around, and people could see him in the past, in the olden times. So he used to go and attend the majlis, the sitting of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So once the angel of death came and was sitting in the presence of Sulaiman, and he was looking intently at one particular person in that audience. So that person, after that angel of death left and everybody left, that person ran to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he said, "O Sulaiman, Prophet of Allah, I noticed that the angel of death was looking at me very intently now. And I'm afraid that probably he is considering to take my life." So please ask the wind to take me to and throw me in very far land. So he commanded the wind, and as we know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him the control of the wind. So he commanded the wind, it took him and it threw him in a very, or took him to a very far land. So a little bit later, the king, the angel of death came to Sulaiman again. And Sulaiman asked him, he said, for that person so and so, why were you looking at him so intently? You scared him. He said, well, I was surprised because I saw him sitting here when I was told to take away his life next hour in a place in such and such land, which is very far from here. So it was the land where Sulaiman told the wind to take him. This story, as I said, even though it is not authentic, yet it gives us a small moral, which is that wherever we are, death will come to us. If it is decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal that I will die here, I will die here. If it is decreed by Him that I will die in the sea, He will facilitate for me the means that I will find that I had to go on a trip and I couldn't go except by boat, and I was drowned or something on the sea and so on. So sometimes we may die in places where we never imagined that we will be going to those places if Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed such a thing to happen. Another story relating to the angel of death that I have commented on in the book on funerals is that the angel of death came to Musa alayhi salam, and he came in the form of a man. He came to him, this is authentic. He came to him and he said, I am coming to take your life. But he punched the angel of death and the angel of death lost his eye. So he went to Allah complaining. And he said, you have sent me to a servant of yours who hates death. So Allah told him, gave him back his eye, and then told him, go to him and tell him to put his hand over the hide of an ox. And whatever number of hairs his hand covers, he will be given as many years to live. So he went back to Musa and he said, your Lord tells you to put your hand on the hide of an ox and you will live as many years as your hand covers of the hairs of the ox. He said, and what comes after that? He said, death. He said, then let it be now. And he died at that moment. And this confirms what Aisha radiallahu anha said, that whenever a prophet died, he was given the option before death. As you see here, Musa was given the option of living longer or dying. And he chose to die. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the option of dying or living longer. And he said, بَلِ الرَّفِيقُ الْأَعْلَى. No, I rather choose the highest company. And he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this story, as the scholars explained, that when Musa saw the angel of death the first time, he did not recognize him and he did not declare himself to be the angel of death. He just said, I'm coming to take your life. So he punched him. Why do you want to take my life? I will take your life. So he punched him and he went away with his lost eye. So it's not that Musa hated death in the first time and then he changed his mind the second time. But what this indicates to us is that indeed the angel of death had come to some people in the past, and particularly to Musa alayhi salam, in the form of a man. And he could see him and he could deal with him like he would deal with a man. So back to this hadith, it tells us that the angel of death comes after those other angels come. And a question would be, how many angels are the other angels? We do not know. The same answer. We are told that they are angels. And in Arabic, the word angels could mean three and above. Could be 3, 4, 5, 10, 100, Allahu A'lam. But all we know is that they are more than two. Even though in some very special cases, you could use even an angels, the plural, for the musanna, for the plural of the two in Arabic, but this is a very rare usage. So most probably there are three or more. So there are some angels, three or more, sitting there waiting, and the angel of death comes. And he tells the dying person, the person whose death has approached, he says, "Come out, O good soul." And he tells it some other things that are not mentioned in the hadith of Al-Bara, but in some other reports, like saying, "Come out to a pleasure of your Lord, to a forgiveness of your Lord, مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكِ وَرِضْوَانٌ, come out to رَوْحٍ وَرَيْحَانٌ, pleasure and ease of living, وَرَبِّ غَيْرِ غَضْبَانٌ, and a Lord who is not angry with you," and so on. So he says many things that constitute good, glad tidings for the dying person. So when the dying person hears this, he is pleased, of course, to hear that, and the soul is willing to run after all these great promises that it is being promised. So as the Prophet ﷺ says, that it pours out from the body like you pour out water from a container. When you tilt a container, the water comes out so easily and so smoothly. And that is how the soul of the dying person comes out at the moment of death. The dying believer or the living person, that's how the soul comes out. And the angel of death takes hold of it as soon as it comes out from the body. Of course, I mean, there are lots of things that we can wonder about in regard to the soul. How does it look like? And how does it pour? And does it come in the form of a man, or in the form of what? Or in the form of a ghost, like they show the ghosts in the cartoons, or what? None of this we can comment on or say anything, because it's a matter of ghaib, and we have established how we deal with matters of ghaib. And in addition, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the ruh, about the soul. Say, the soul is of the affairs or the command of my Lord, and you have only been given very little of knowledge. So our knowledge about the soul is very little. And even though it is with us all our lives, our souls are with us all our lives, but this shows how limited is our knowledge, that even our soul, we do not know much about it. We do not know what is the process through which our soul leaves our body and goes to some place during our sleep. As Allah says, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. Allah takes away the nafs, the soul, at the time of death. And those which have not died yet, during its sleep, He takes them away. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتَ وَيُوْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجْلِ مُسَمَّى. He keeps the one upon which He has decreed death, which means He keeps it, He does not send it back. وَيُوْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجْلِ مُسَمَّى. But He sends the other ones until an appointed term. And here in this ayah of Surah Zumar, Allah Azza wa Jal tells or uses the term nafs instead of ruh. And there is a long discussion among the scholars whether nafs and ruh are the same or different. So do we have a soul and a ruh, a ruh and a nafs, or they are the same or different, and so on. Allahu A'lam, the opinion that some scholars take and seems to be the simplest is that they are the same, especially in situations like this, where it clearly is indicating the same thing that is indicated in the other ayat where it says, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So, how is the soul, and what is the structure, what are the properties of the soul, we do not know. All we know is that it pours out from the body, it comes out easily from the body, like water pouring out from a water vessel. The angel of death takes hold of this soul, and by that he has finished his mission. He has performed what he came for. That is all what he has to do, to give the tidings to this soul, if it is a good soul, with whatever he was told. Otherwise, to give the evil tidings, the news of punishment and torment and torture for the evil soul, as we will describe in a little bit. And then to take hold of the soul, and that's it. After that, what happens? The angels who were sitting very far away run to him. Run to the angel of death, and they take the soul out of his hand. So he has completed his mission, he leaves, and we do not hear anything about him anymore in the hadith. All we hear is about the other angels, that they took the soul from him and they put it into that shroud that they brought from Jannah, that silk that they brought from Jannah, and they put over it that perfume, that embalmment, that hamut that they brought from Jannah. When the soul departs from the body, as Rasulullah tells us, that the angels in the heavens and on earth make salah on it, which means ask Allah to forgive that believing servant. So they make supplication for him. And that is a great thing that is granted to the believers, that the angels make supplication for him during his life and at the time of death. And after death and on the day of judgment. So they supplicate for him and ask Allah to forgive him. And then the angels who were dealing with this soul, they take it up to the heavens. As they pass by the angels who are between the heavens and earth, the angels ask him about him, who is this soul that you are carrying, this good soul that has this nice smell? And they say, he is so and so, the son of so and so. They describe him with the best description that he had on earth. And they keep going up with him until they reach the lowest heaven. Again, we come back to the question that we posed earlier. How long it takes them to get to the lowest heaven? If we measure it by the speed of light distance, then they need many, many years to get to the lowest heaven. A number of years, actually, that is beyond our conception, thousands and thousands of years, for the light to cover the universe that we are familiar with. So how about reaching the lowest heaven? Probably it takes even more. But again, this is not the world of this life. This is a different law to which different laws of nature apply. So they reach the lowest heaven in a few moments from the description of the hadith, but in a time scale that it is not measurable by our scale. All we know is that this and many other things will happen, and then the soul will be returned to the dead body in such a short time that the body has just been buried and the people are just moving away from it. So they go up with it until they reach the lowest heaven. They ask for admission and they are granted admission. And this tells us, this and other ahadith, they tell us, they indicate that the heavens are guarded by angels who do not allow except people who are permitted to enter. There are guards over the gates of the heavens. And the heavens have gates, as this hadith and others tell us. So when they reach the gates of the lowest heavens, they ask for admission. They are asked, who are you and do you have with you? And they are told, we have so and so, son of so and so. They say, welcome, good soul. And they allow it to enter into the first heaven. And then the best of the angels of that heaven go with it to the next heaven. So they ascend from the lowest heaven to the next heaven, to the next heaven, to the next heaven. And between each heaven and the other, the best of the angels of that heaven join with this gathering or number of angels who are going with this soul from one heaven to the other, until they reach the highest, uppermost heaven. And there Allah Azza wa Jal talks to them. Does it mean that Allah is in the lowest, in the seventh heaven? No, as we said earlier, Allah is above the seventh heaven and above the throne and above everything. But the seventh heaven is the closest to Allah, which means that it is the highest. By being the highest of Allah's creation, therefore it is the closest to Allah. But it's not the closeness that we understand materially and physically from this world, which can be measured by yardsticks or meter sticks. So when they reach the seventh heaven, Allah Azza wa Jal says, write or register my servants in Aliyin, in the highest records, in the highest of registers, and take him back to the earth. Take him back to the earth, because from it I created them, to it I return them, and from it I bring them out again a second time. So his soul is taken back to his body. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that at that moment he can hear the footsteps of his companions as they are leaving and moving away from around his grave. Which means by then the body has been buried and the people who buried him are walking away from the grave. A question would be brought up: what about a person who was not buried in a grave? A person who was drawn in a sea? Or a person who was burned in a fire? Or some other situation? What would happen to them? And the same answer comes. That first of all, two answers. First of all, these are matters of ghaib. We have to apply to them what we have been told in this hadith. And we cannot, you know, deal with specific cases because of the limit of our understanding of the ghaib. And secondly, we say that we have been given the general case. As for specific cases, Allah knows best what happens to them, whether the exact same things will be applicable to them or not, in regard of the soul going up to the seventh heaven and then being sent back to the body. And which body? The body that was buried. And how is the body later on going to be tested and made to sit and things like that. Also, in the process of the soul going to the seventh heaven, one of the reports, which is not from the hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib, tells us that the angels take the soul to meet the souls of the believers. Takes him to meet the souls of the believers. And that report tells that this happens after the seventh heaven, after reaching the seventh heaven. Which seems to indicate that the souls of the believers are in the seventh heaven. Are in the seventh heaven. There is another hadith, an authentic hadith, which tells us that the souls of the believers are turned into birds that are or fly in Jannah. So together with this, this seems to indicate that he is taken to Jannah, where he meets the souls of the believers for a brief amount of time. He talks to them, they ask him what happened. You know, the souls of the believers, it seems they are not aware from this hadith, they are not aware of what happens on earth. And they don't know who died as a believer, who did not die as a believer. So they ask, what happened to so-and-so, what happened to so-and-so, what happened to so-and-so? And he tells them, so-and-so, he's still alive. So they say, alhamdulillah, that he has not died yet, because they are still hoping that he died, and they will meet him, because they will meet every single believer that has died, and they will know that he has died as a believer. So-and-so, if he tells them he died, they feel sorry for him, because they know that he has not met him. If they are asking about him and he died, that means he did not come to them. That means he is not with the believers, he is with the disbelievers. So they feel sorry for him that this happened to him. And so he meets the believers, and then he goes back, or the soul goes back to the grave where it is tested. And I think I have to go at a little faster pace because the time is running out. And we have not even started talking about the disbelievers. for the believer, he is after that made to sit in his grave. After the soul goes back to the body, angels come to him who are, in some of the reports, blue or blue and black in color, very harsh and stern in appearance. They come to him and they make him sit in his grave. Again, the question is, how can he sit when the grave is so tight and even if he was alive, he can barely move in it? So how could he sit? Same answer, that this life is different from the life of our world and different laws apply to it. So they make him sit and they start asking him questions. They ask him, who is your Lord? What is your religion? What did you do in your life? And who is that man that was sent to you? That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he answers all correct answers. He gives the correct questions to the answers, such that he would say, my Lord is Allah, my religion is Islam, and I have believed that man was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believed in him and I followed him. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say, صَدَقَ عَبْدِي, my abd has said the truth. So he commands that furnishing from Jannah would be laid for him in the grave, and that an opening in his grave is made towards the Jannah, and another opening towards fire, the fire, the hell fire. And he will be shown that this could have been your abode if you were a disbeliever, but Allah has substituted it for you with this one, and he has shown his place in Jannah. And he will receive from the good smell and goodness of Jannah while he is in his grave. And then a good smelling, good looking person comes and sits by him, and he says, have the glad tidings from your Lord. He says, who are you? Because your face brings glad tidings. He said, I am your deeds. I am your good deeds. So our deeds turn in the grave, the good deeds, into a good looking person that sits by us in our day. Now when the good and righteous believer sees all of this, he wishes that the doom's hour comes quickly and that he will be resurrected, so that he will meet with his family and his friends and he will enter to Jannah. Because if this is what he is witnessing in the grave, then definitely what comes after is much better and much more glorious. So he asks for that, and he asks, oh Allah, أَقِمِ السَّاعَةَ لَعَلِّي أَرْجُعُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي وَمَالِي, that I may go back to my family and my friends. And he is told, أُسْكُن, be quiet, be tranquil. Or he is told, نَمْ كَنَوْمَةَ الْعَرُوسِ, sleep like a newlywed person who is not awakened except by the closest, most beloved person to him. And he is made to sleep. Now this, with the other ahadith, seems to indicate to us that what happens after that, and there is also a hadith which tells us that the abode of the person, of the believer in the grave after that, goes so fast as if it was just a nap. As if it was a nap. So the people who died from the time of Adam alayhi salam, and the people who died from our time until the last people who are on earth, for them the time, the righteous ones among them, their abode in the grave will be like a small nap. And as you know, when we take a nap, sometimes we take a nap and then somebody wakes up, hey, it is time to get up, it's time for prayer, and we get up and we say we did not even feel that we slept. So it's not like thousands and thousands of years to them, but it's a short time for them. Also, the other hadith indicates that the souls are in Jannah. There are birds that are in Jannah, souls of the believers. So how could that be? How could the souls be in Jannah like birds and how could the person be in his grave? And is the soul with the person in the grave, or that's it? Once his last trial has finished, then he leaves and the body stays by itself and the soul is in Jannah. We don't know. We are not given enough information about that. But what we know is that the souls are in Jannah. And if you ask me, when we are sleeping, and Allah takes our souls, as He tells us in the Quran, does it mean that our souls depart totally from us, from our bodies, and they are somewhere else? And only when we wake up, when somebody shakes us, we regain our souls, or the souls are also with us, and at the same time they are somewhere else where Allah has taken them? We do not know. They could be, I mean, in the world of the ghaib, it is perceivable or conceivable, rather conceivable, that the souls could be with us and they could be in another place at the same time. So what I'm saying is that I cannot say nothing, anything, neither for it nor against it. This is for the believing servant. For the disbeliever, now we are going to the other extreme, and as I said, we have not been told a lot about many things that happen for the cases which are in the middle between of the spectrum between the two extreme cases. For the disbeliever, many things happen totally opposite to what happens to the believer. When the angels come to him, they come to him dark faced, ugly smelling, carrying the musuh or the shrouds, rock shrouds from the hellfire, and they have embalmment from the hellfire, very ugly smelling. And similarly, they sit very far from him, as far as he can see, and they wait until the angel of death comes, and he gives the worst news to the dying person. He says, "Come out, O foul soul, O evil soul, come to an anger of your Lord, come out to a severe punishment that awaits you," and so on. So when the angel of death tells this to the dying soul, what do you expect it to do? To be willing to come out? No, rather, to the contrary, it will be so scared that it tries its best to cling to the body, to remain in it, because once it's out of it, it starts approaching its expected severe punishment that the angel of death is telling about. So it tries to cling hard to the body and to stay away from the angel of death, but this doesn't work with him because he has a mission that he has to accomplish and he came for, which is to take the soul out from the body. So he takes it and pulls it by force. فَيَنْتَزِعُهَا كَمَا تُنْتَزَعُ السُّفُودُ مِنَ صُوفِ الْمُتَلِ. He pulls it out like you pull an anchor from that is stuck into wet wool. He pulls it harshly, and when he does that, its veins burst or break. And Allahu A'lam, even though it is a matter of ghaib, whether in this case or in the other case that we discussed earlier of the believers, still you see some indications of that on the material body that we have with us after the person dies. So for a believing person, we find an appearance of goodness, of happiness on the face, a smile on the face, or a good look on the face, or a good color, or a good smell emanating from it. And the best, of course, of that was of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of whom Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Sibta ya Rasulullah hayya wa maita." You smell good, O Allah's Messenger, living and dead. When you are alive as well as when you are dead. So, and whereas for the disbeliever, you see many people who when they die, they discolor, they become bluish in color. You can see that they have a scared look on their faces. So as soon as the angel of death take this soul. Again, he has fulfilled his mission. The other angels run and take the soul from him, put it into that shroud from the hellfire, and put over it of the embalmment that they brought from the hellfire, and it is cursed by all the angels in the heavens and on earth. All the angels curse this soul, and then they go up with it until they reach the lowest heaven. Those angels go up with it to the lowest heaven. As they pass by the angels along their way, they curse that soul instead of making dua for it. And when they reach the lowest heaven, they try to get in. They ask for admission, but they are not allowed in. And then Allah Azza wa Jal commands them to record, to register that soul in sijin, in the imprisonment, in the dungeons of the lowest earth. So it's not allowed to go up. And he also commands that the soul be thrown and cast down from the heavens to the earth. And that's what happens until the soul comes back into the body, and then the angels come and they make it sit and question it, ask it the questions that they ask the believer. As for the believer, he was able to answer all the questions correctly. For the disbeliever, he cannot answer any question. Rather, he answers the questions, he indicates that he doesn't know the answer to any question. He says, "Alas, alas, I do not know, I do not know, I do not know. What is your religion? Who is your Lord? I do not know, I do not know. Who was that man who was sent to you? I do not know. I heard people say things about him, but I do not remember." So he is not given the ability to answer anything. Because of that, in his life, this is how he dealt with these issues. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells, or somebody calls upon him, saying, that person saying to him, addressing him by saying, "La darayt wa la talaw." May you never know or be able to recite anything. Or probably that means that you were not able in the past, you did not want to learn, and you did not want to recite the Quran, so you will be punished now. And then his grave is made so tight around him so that his ribs will break. Whereas for the believer, his grave becomes so wide for him, مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ, as far as he can see. Again, these are matters of ghaib, and as I said, the laws of our life do not apply to them. If we dig into the grave and look, we will not see that the believer has now a very wide grave, or that the disbeliever has a tight grave, or if we check his ribs, we will not find that they are broken by the standards of this life. But by the laws of this intermediate state, this is what happens, and this is true by the promise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, Allah Azza wa Jal commands, he says, "Kadhab 'abdi," my abd has said, has lied. So furnish his grave with furnishings from the hellfire, open for him a door to the hellfire, so that the harm and the hardships and pain come to him from that door. And he is also shown the Jannah, and he is told, "This is where you could have been had you been obedient to Allah, but because of your disobedience, Allah has given you that instead." When he sees this, also an evil looking, evil smelling man or person comes and sits by him, and he says, "Abshir billadhi yasu'uk," have the evil tidings of that which would displease you. He says, "Who are you? May you have the worst of news because of this evil news that you are giving me." He says, "I am your deeds. I am none other than your deeds. And I have known you to be slow in obeying Allah and quick in disobeying Allah. So may Allah award you with the worst for that." So when he sees all this, he says also, sorry, I keep remembering other things that happened to them. Allah Azza wa Jal appoints for him a person who is blind and deaf, who does not have any mercy on him, and with him is a sledgehammer, that if he would hit a mountain with it, it would turn to dust. So he would beat him with that sledgehammer, and every time he beats him, he turns to dust, and then he is turned back to his initial state, and then he hits him again and again, and he yells, he shrieks so loud, with such screams that everyone can hear them, except the human beings and the jinn. So the animals, if they pass by the graves of the disbelievers, they would be frightened because of what they hear, of what's going on there. So when he sees all of that, he says, رَبِّ لَا تُقِمِ السَّاعَةِ رَبِّ لَا تُقِمِ السَّاعَةِ Oh my Lord, do not let the hour come. Do not let the hour come. Why? Because he knows that even though he is in such a great suffering in the grave, but what awaits him in the hereafter is even more. So he wishes to stay in that state which is much less pain than the hereafter. This is the situation of the disbeliever. It is in complete suffering and pain until the day of judgment. How about the cases in between, which means people who are not disbelievers but are sinful believers? There are ahadith indicating that there will be punishment applicable to the sinful in the grave. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the majority of the punishment in the grave is because of people who do not purify themselves from urine. Which means when they go to the toilet, they do not make sure to clean themselves after that. For those people, that is the majority of the punishment of the grave is for such people. So they will be punished in the grave for that. And also he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those who go about people with namima, backbiting and slandering and saying things to cause, you know, problems among the believers, those are the people who will be punished mostly in the grave. There are other sinful people that are indicated in the ahadith, like people who do things, who come ask people to do things but they do not do them, those who lie, those who eat riba, who take riba or usury, and many other cases of the sinful. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from the punishment of the grave and to make our abode in the grave in al-barzakh an easy one, to make our trial in the grave an easy one in which we answer the questions in a satisfactory way, and to lessen the squeeze of the grave on us, and to make our grave wide to the extent of where we can see, and to open a gate to us for us to Jannah while we are in our graves. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.